We're talking about how he is with us and how his presence is the best gift of all. Last week, we looked at Joseph's story and how God is with us through the perspective of Joseph. Joseph gets this very real, very life-altering news that his fiance is pregnant. Joseph was betrothed to Mary. That means that he was legally engaged. He was pledged to marry her, and he was on his way to that. They had a plan. They had a goal. I'm sure they had dreams and all types of ambition. And yet, God, in his grace, invites himself to change that up. He appears to Mary. We're going to look at that in just a minute. And she reveals to Joseph that she's pregnant, and it's not by him. But it's not by anybody else. Come on, praise the Lord. This was a God design that he was going to change the world and fulfill the prophecy that was found in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. So roughly 500 years before Mary and Joseph were born, there was a prophetic word given through the prophet Isaiah that one day there would be a child who would be given. There would be a son who would be born, and he shall be called Emmanuel, which means, come on, do y'all know it? God with us. As that takes place, the angel speaks to Joseph in a dream. And he says, the thing that Mary told you is not a lie. And so he says, do not divorce her. In fact, embrace your God calling here. Become the adopted dad of King Jesus. Name him Jesus and raise him as your own to the glory of God. And something happens in that moment when Joseph wakes up, where at first he went to sleep thinking, I'm going to get divorced and my whole life is going to be changed. When he woke up, he was different. I gave you 3 points last week as a result of God being with us. I want to just run through these 3 points because it's going to propel us into today's sermon, okay? God with us shows us and provides for us clarity in the chaos. What does that mean? It means that God doesn't necessarily take you out of chaos. He just helps you see through it. Amen? What God does for Joseph is he says, I'm going to help you see clearly through the chaos in your life. God with us provides confidence in the calling. In other words, God has a calling on each one of our lives. He had a great calling on Joseph and Mary's life. And he didn't take them out of the calling. He provided confidence in the calling. He says, I'm going to be with you. And because I'm with you, that reality is going to give you a great sense of confidence. Confidence is a firm trust that's going to happen. God with us provides calm in commotion. Commotion is a noisy distraction. Commotion is when we're focused on all the external circumstances and all the loud voices that can even be in our head or on a news feed or whatever that may look like. We're focused more on the commotion rather than the fact that he's with us. When you recognize that he's with you, listen, if you're in the boat by yourself and it's windy and it's wavy and it's getting scary in the middle of the night, you have reason to panic. But when you recognize that God is with you in the boat, you can sleep like Jesus. You can rest in the midst of the commotion. Notice how I didn't say God with us takes us out of chaos, takes us away from the calling, deletes the commotion. No, he's just with us in it. Amen. The reality of Christmas Walk Church is the fact that God is with us. And I want this reality to get so annoying to you that you start to acknowledge God in every area of your life. To the point, I'm gonna clap with you. We're a clap church, come on. The hands wanna worship too. I gave this reality statement and I wanna read it again because I think it's so important for us to really anchor ourselves to. We'll put it up on the screen. This reality is this: God with us, it's a reality to experience, not just a statement to read. My fear is that we would reread the Christmas story and read about the Emmanuel and think that was great for them. But now in my life, I move in my own strength, in my own ability, in my own confidence. May that not be the case for any of us here in the room. Amen. If you're a Christian, recognize the reality of God being with you. It's a lifestyle. It's not just something you read. It's something that you acknowledge, not just on Sunday, but Monday too. Not just on great praise reports, but in dark prayer requests too. Yes, thank you. That God is currently, presently with us. Changes everything. Now, maybe you would say, okay, that was good for Joseph, but what about his partner? What's on the other side? And that is this lady named Mary, who we were just singing about. And I want to invite you to turn me to Luke chapter 1. We're going to read out of the ESV translation, verses 26 all the way through 38. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. Come on, turn there with me. Turn there with me. Flip there with me. Log on there with me. Turn your eyes to the screen with me. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you need more time, say, one sec. One sec. One sec. If you're ready, say, I'm ready. All right. If you're hungry, say, let's eat.
Let's eat.
Let's eat from the word. Father, as we prepare to eat from your word, right now we invite and ask and acknowledge your Holy Spirit to speak to us. God, we need to hear your voice. More than every other voice for these next few minutes, Father, speak to us. Lord, we don't need another sermon that we can predict. We need a fresh word from your word right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and imagine this moment, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Nothing? Come on, not a single amen right there? I mean, I'm gonna try this again. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you."
Amen.
Amen. Woo! I just wanna make sure we're catching it. I've read this story for many years. I've preached on these same passages. I never realized that the Lord said he was with you to Mary. I knew that he said, "Greetings, O favored one." But this announcement is better. The Lord's with you right from the jump. Verse 29, but she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." Oh, say that with me, church. Do not be afraid. These four words are helpful. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua, Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Amen. I think that Mary was like, uh-huh, okay. I think that, you know, the angel Gabriel just had like a turn up moment right here where he just started preaching. His Old Testament theology was on point. And Mary's like, what? Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Amen. I love that word. And Mary said, behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So last week, we talked about three C's: clarity, confidence, and calm. in the midst of all the different things that we were sharing about. That was through Joseph's circumstance. Today, we got three new C's. Come on. I like the letter C. Maybe it stands for Christ. No, it stands for church. Come on. It stands for something good. We're going to look at these C's through Mary's story and how when you look at God's presence with her, you'll be able to realize there's some things from his pattern that can also be helpful for you. I want to do two things. I want us to look at the story as is, right? Like, this is Mary's story. We're not Mary. Mary's Mary. We're leaning in and looking at her story. But there are some principles of God's presence with her that I do believe also can apply to us in our present circumstances because he is the God who is with us. Amen? So let's look at her story, God with Mary. The first thing that I want us to see is that God with us provides courage where there's concern. Come on, amen? God provides a sense of courage where there is concern. Let me give you a definition for the word courage. What is courage? Courage is mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. Some synonyms for the word courage are bravery, boldness. God provides a very real sense of bravery and boldness in the middle of concern. I just want to say to you today, Mary had every reason to be concerned. Come on, right? Now, I'm sure you are holier than thou, but you would have been concerned too. Try to just imagine the situation. I think the more we can put ourselves, you know, let's just say you're going to lunch with Mary the next day and you're like, and what did you say? What? I mean, let's look at verses 28 and 29 again. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly excited about that. No. Homegirl was troubled. Come on, amen. I don't know when the last time I said homegirl. That was weird. That was weird. I'm not going to do that again. She was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. One, Mary just got approached by an angel. Big deal. Reveals himself and says, "Greetings, O favored one." She goes, "Favored one, the Lord is with you." And she is troubled. Do you know what the definition of concerned is? What does it mean to be concerned? Concerned just means that you're troubled and trying to discern what's going on. Can I just tell you? It's okay to be concerned. Mary was concerned. The good news about God with us is he provides courage in concern. So you could be concerned about what is happening around you and in you and through you and what's happening in your family and in this December in 2023. And I'm concerned about 2024 and I'm concerned about giving the heart offering today. And I'm concerned about X, Y, and Z. Maybe you haven't got any Christmas presents for anybody yet. Or maybe you're hoping to get Christmas presents. And maybe you're concerned about a lot of different things. Come on, amen.
Amen.
Oh, man. I be getting concerned sometimes. But here's what I want to tell you. God doesn't take us out of concern. He meets us in our concern.
Amen.
I'm thankful that you have a plethora of stories throughout the history of the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. Let's just take, for example, somebody like Nehemiah. And I remember preaching through the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah realizes, wow, my hometown is broken down. Gates have been burned. The walls broken down. People have invaded and desecrated the area that we called holy. And Nehemiah doesn't go, "God, make it go away." No, he says, "God, I'm going to go rebuild it, but I'm going to need you to be with me." And God says, "I'll be with you." Amen. Come on. And what do? They build a wall. There's a moment where there's these three individuals, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. If anybody's looking for baby boy names, you just got three. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, the hot boys, right? The hot boys got thrown into the fire. And King Nebuchadnezzar says, let me see how those hot, how these three, they don't want to worship me. Let me see how they're doing in there. And then Nebuchadnezzar goes, wait. I only put three in there. I see four. Yep. Who's that fourth one? He looks like the Son of God. Yep. God didn't necessarily remove them out of the fire. He just met them in the fire. Daniel says, I'm going to pray three times a day and nobody's going to stop me. And they say, man, you should be concerned because that might get you thrown in the lion's den. And Daniel says, hey, I got my rhythm. I'm a praying individual. He keeps praying. He keeps seeking the Lord. They say he's going to throw you in the lion's den. There's somebody who connivingly gets Daniel sent in that space. And what ends up happening? God meets him in it. Listen to me, Walk Church. Hear me. Somebody hear me. Let me see some eyes. Let me see some hearts. Come on. Listen to me. God might not take you out of your concern. He just might meet you in the middle of it. Mary's concerned. It doesn't say she was greatly excited. It doesn't say she was dancing with cheer for all to hear. It says that she was troubled. It says that Joseph decided in his heart to divorce her quietly, not wanting to put her to shame. And yet God says, I'm going to meet you in it. I will go with you. Courage. In concern. I want to highlight a verse one more time. I think it's so important to notice how God meets Moses in his stuttering challenge, in his inadequacies. I'm not qualified enough. God says, I'll go with you. Moses ends up dying, but right before they get to the promised land, he passes the baton to his young protege, Joshua. And Joshua now has the task of leading the army and the people of Israel into this new land. In Joshua chapter 1, God speaks directly to Joshua. Joshua 1:9. Come on, let's read it one more time. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. In other words, be strong, get your muscles on, but also get your heart muscle on. Get your mind. Courageous is something inward that leads to strength on the outward. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I believe Joshua's courage came from God's presence. Joshua's courage came from God's commitment to being with him wherever he went. Where shall I go? Says David in Psalm 139. Where can I escape from your presence? Nowhere. God says, I'll meet you there and I'll be with you in it. So you might have to change your prayer. Come on, hear me, Walk Church. You might have to change your prayer. Your prayer might have to change from, God, take me out of this. God, don't let this happen. God, remove me from this. You change your prayer to, no. God, meet me in this. God, be with me in it. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear because you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me, right? David's saying, hey, I'm not asking you to take me out of the valley of the shadow of death. That's some dark language. That's some like poetic dark language. The valley of the shadow of death. David's looking around the corner saying, this might be it for me. But then he says, but I'm not going to be afraid. Why? Well, because the Lord, my shepherd, he knows what he's doing. He will be with me. Something about God's presence. Let us become more aware of his presence. It'll help us this Christmas season. Amen. Amen. Courage in concern. It's okay to be concerned. Acknowledge God in it. The second thing we see in Mary's story is that God with us provides can where there's can't. I was trying to find a better, like, eloquent way to say it, and I just couldn't find it. So sorry, English professors, if this is off. I believe the theology is on. God with us provides can where there's can't. Notice Mary here. She asked the angel one question. The angel says, this is what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. He's going to come upon you, and you're going to conceive and bear a son and call his name Jesus. And she says, how will this be since I'm a virgin? Now, I want to make this quick distinction because I think it's helpful to understand the Bible correctly. There's two moments that are similar. Both happen in chapter 1 of Luke. A few verses before this, you'll find a couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist, right? Zechariah and Elizabeth come first. God is preparing a voice in the wilderness. That's a prophetic word about John the Baptist. Zechariah and Elizabeth are older in age. Zechariah providentially gets picked to bring the prayer incense into the temple there. And while he's there, an angel appears to Zechariah and says, the Lord heard your prayer. And Zechariah, in his older age, looks at him, maybe with a sense of confusion or maybe concern. And the angel says, your wife, who has been barren, will give birth to a baby boy, and you shall name him John. Now, Zechariah looks back at the angel and says, how will this be since me and my wife are old? And here's what he says. The way of woman is no longer with her. How dare he shade his wife like that to the angel? Come on. In other words, he's saying, you sure you got the right couple? Like, we a little past that phase. And what does the angel do? He goes, stop talking. You're talking too much. And he says, you're not going to be able to speak until the baby's born, and then you can name him John. And he makes him mute for his disbelief. Now, Mary also asked the same question. How will this happen? But the heart posture is different. Zechariah asked, and he said, God can't do that. We're too old. Mary said, how's that going to happen? I'm a virgin. So she's asking by faith with the essence of purity, saying, honestly, how? We're not married. And so the angel then explains to her how God can what you can't. No, come on, amen. No, notice the verse. Verse 37. Come on, I want you to read this with me. I want you to read it with conviction. I want you to read it like you believe it. Ready, set, go. For nothing will be impossible with God. Mary says, how will this be? And the angel says, he says quite a few things, but one of the things he says is, for nothing will be impossible with God. Yes. So I want you to do this for the rest of the year and for the rest of your life, but going into 2024, all right? I want to give you a Christmas in 2024 challenge. Can I do it?
Yes.
Okay, yes, amen. A Christmas / 2024 challenge. Here it is. I want you to adopt a God can mentality. Amen. I want you to embrace it, adopt it, grab it, cling to it, and then begin to tap into it. Accept it, embrace it, a God can mentality. I think there's too much pessimism in the church. We focus too much on what can't happen or what won't happen or all the things that haven't happened. Friend, we need to focus on what God can do. I love this. God can. Make this your prayer. Make this your prayer. God, I believe you can. So the reality that he's with us. God, I believe you can heal my child. God, I believe you can reconcile this family. God, I believe you can help us build a new building and facility. Come on. God, I believe you can use this school to do great things. Yeah, God, I believe you can do a miracle in Las Vegas. God, I believe you are at work in Sin City. This is your city. God, I believe you can turn things around. God, I believe you can do it. A God can mentality changes everything. Well, my hope would be that you wouldn't grow cold to the reality that God can do it. One of my favorite men of God in the Bible is a guy by the name of Gideon. You can find him in the book of Judges, specifically in chapter 6. And you maybe are familiar with Gideon and the 300, the original 300 that took on these battles that were in a lot of ways impossible, but with God, they were possible. And even Gideon in his inadequacies, and even in Gideon in his lack of faith, argues with God. And he says, God, look, I'm not Moses. Even Gideon says, God, I'm not Joshua. I'm not Abraham. That was for all of the saints of old. I'm Gideon. I'm not that dude. And God speaks back to him. He goes, but you're forgetting the God factor. I'll be with you. So in fact, Gideon, not only that, you got too many people. You need to cut a few. You got to lean down a little bit. Because really the one you need is me. A God, I believe you can do it. God, I believe you can plant more churches. God, I believe you can see more people saved. God, the things that are impossible, God, I still believe are possible. God, I believe you can do it. So I want to encourage you to learn from Mary in this situation. God with us provides a sense that what can't happen, well, God can. And what if we just get more familiar with those two words? God can. Hey, God can. As we approach this heart offering today, I've been praying that the Lord would help us raise over $100,000 today. And honestly, at first I was like, I'm not going to share that. And then I was like, you know what? Now maybe that's just unreal. And then I just had to move into a God can. God can. I can't, but God can. God can mentality. And if he doesn't, I still believe he can. I believe God can in whatever area. And this has to become your prayer, family. Make it your prayer. Make it your prayer. The things that maybe you've stopped praying about, God can. Third and final point. God with us provides conviction where there's cynicism. Come on, it's going to make its way all the way to the back. I was trying to find the right C word, and I was wrestling, studying, preparing. And then I realized, I think the right word, at least for me in this text, is a sense of cynicism. I don't know if you've ever gotten cynical or if you've ever felt a spirit of cynicism come upon you, but can I just tell you, can I just confess to you, this pastor, friend, I love this book. I believe it with my whole heart. I really do. I appreciate the courtesy clap. But hopefully y'all already know that. That's why you're here, right? The point I'm trying to make is even this pastor who, this is my vocation to like love the Lord and get it right. Even this guy right here sometimes falls into cynicism. Don't clap for that. Maybe you're clapping for my authenticity. What is cynicism? Let me define it. Cynicism, here's what it means. It's the belief that something good will not happen or that something is not important. You know, where somebody comes back and they fall into that addiction again and you're like, yeah, maybe God can. Or maybe just this couple just can't seem to figure it out, and then you just get a little cynical and you just say, you know what? I don't know. I don't know if God can do it. Seems like there's more people moving to Vegas and we're not planting enough churches. I don't even know if it's, God, I mean, we've been on this journey of trying to build this building for 4 years. I think it's going to happen. Is it going to happen? Right? And here's what I want to just share with you. The reality of God with us, let me give you the point, provides a sense of conviction where there's cynicism. So when cynicism creeps in and says, a synonym for cynicism is skepticism. It's skeptical. It's, yeah, I don't know. It's not really that important. It's not really going to happen. I don't know. I think, yeah, I believe in God, but he doesn't really believe in me, right? It's like cynicism. I talk to God, but he doesn't say anything back, right? God with us actually speaks a louder, better voice. God with us says, no, I got conviction in the middle of cynicism. Conviction is key. Conviction is something you stand on. Amen? Standing on conviction that even though the winds and the waves of culture and chaos roar and wave, I have a conviction. Things may come, things may go, things may change, people may switch up. I got a conviction, family. A conviction that God can, a conviction that God is with us, presently, powerfully, perfectly, God with us. It changes our conviction. Look at Mary's story, kind of final verse, verse 38. Verse 38, you'll see it. Friend, look at me. Does it not blow your mind that Mary at this moment doesn't go, maybe I'll do it, maybe I'll sign up. What's the details? Mary doesn't say, all right, first let me talk with Joseph about this. Mary doesn't say, how much money are you gonna give me? Mary doesn't say, what hospital are we going to? Mary doesn't say, we got to take a tour first. Mary doesn't say, is this going to be a home birth? Is this going to be, is this going to be like, look, and how about it? She wasn't prepared for the details of what that was going to look like anyway. Mary doesn't get cynical and start doubting and start skepticism. What does she do? She says, well, I'm the servant of the Lord. I got a conviction. Let it be to me according to your word. I love that Mary's conviction, because God was with her, moved her in such a way to say, let's do it. I don't need any more details. I don't need to put up an argument. I don't need to get weird. In fact, I'll tell Joseph myself. No, she goes, in fact, no, God, you'll tell Joseph because you're big enough and you can. Mary's conviction that God was with her was the thing that kept her even in the middle. I'm sure all of her friends were very cynical. Mary, what are you talking about? She's gone crazy. She's lost it. And she's probably doing stuff that's scandalous out here. And Mary goes, I'm not going to be cynical. I'm not even going to ask any more questions. I've just got a conviction. Amen? And notice the angel said, well, that's enough for me. And the angel departed from her and said, we got the right one. She's ready. And that's what led us to this moment here today. Amen. To Christmas. I want to go ahead and pray. And I thank the Lord for these three realities. The fact that God is with us, provides for us courage where there's concern, can where there's can't, and conviction where there's cynicism. I'm not going to say cynicism won't creep up. I'm just saying that your conviction will be better. What's your conviction? The fact that he's with you. If you've lost hope, renew your God with us. If you got God, you got what you need. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I want to pray in Jesus' name right now for each individual here in the room. And God, each person that's online, I thank you that you're with us. I thank you that you're for us. And I thank you that you're not against us. God, I thank you for the conviction that you are who you say you are. And God, I pray right now in Jesus' name, if there's anybody in this room or online that needs to get saved right now and put their faith in Jesus right now, I pray they would do it right now. Just respond with faith and just say, Lord, I believe. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you really were born of a virgin. And I believe you love me and you want me and you're with me. I turn away from my past. I turn away from my sins. And I call on your name, Jesus. Save me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I want to continue to pray one more prayer. And Lord, I pray for each individual right now that's wrestling with cynicism, that's wrestling with doubt, that's wrestling with concern, that's wrestling with a can't mentality. God, I pray that you would step in. You would provide purpose in the pain. You would provide clarity in the chaos. God, you'd provide calm in the commotion. You would provide conviction in the cynicism. God, do it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.